It is the goodness of God that causes people to repent. Because usually repentance has shame attached to it somewhere, so the goodness makes that shame go away. The goodness makes that shame not to inhibit you from repenting, you know? Because we all mess up. I don't know anybody in here got it perfect. If you do, come on. Come do this. Because this boy right here ain't got it right all the way either, right? It's a constant, y'all ever heard of a calculus curve? I know I brought it in here before. You have, haven't you? Always approaching zero, but never quite getting there. It's kind of like the event horizon on a black hole. The closer you get to it, the further away it seems to be as you get closer and closer and closer. That's what we're doing. We're constantly approaching zero, but never quite getting there. Zero meaning no sin at all in our lives. You're not going to get there. That's the reason why we needed Jesus. Amen. That's the reason why we needed a Savior. That's the reason why He came, was to make us approach and hit zero, to make us fall on into the black hole, to make us get on into the place where we could experience the fullness of God without any weight, without any blurriness, without any wall of separation. He came so that we could be fully and completely with God. Amen. In fact, so much did He do it, He put His Spirit in you and made you a brand new creation. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Mr. Charles, verse 17. We're going to get into this way. Y'all good? Oh, wait, we got some business to do, don't we? We do. We got business to do. Y'all ready? Why do skeletons not play music in church? Because they don't have organs. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. What do you call an elephant that doesn't matter? An ear elephant. Irrelevant. 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 Should have done that one first. I thought they were both pretty good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, any person be in Christ, he is what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Go to verse 18. Now, all things are what? Who has reconciled us to Himself through whom? Jesus Christ, and has given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Keep going, Charles. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not doing what? Imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, everybody say that's me, the word of reconciliation. This is Missions Month, right? We're talking about missions. Missions Month is where this is at. And we're going to take this. What's up, Big Daddy? He's good. Let him go. We're going to take this from I'm going to kind of preach it from the middle out is the way this is going to happen, okay? So, He has given back up. Now all things are what? Of God. Back up one more, Charles. Let me show him something. Anybody in here in Christ? Do we even know what that means? Do we know what that means? So to be in Christ means that you've been engrafted into Christ. The Amplified Bible says that you are engrafted into Christ. So at the moment that you said, yes, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. At that point, you were engrafted into Him. If you remember, I think it's in John somewhere, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's when you became a branch. You were engrafted into the vine at the moment that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When that happened, everything that was flowing in Him began to flow into you. All right, somebody didn't get that one, so I'm going to say it again. When that happened, everything that was flowing in Him began to flow into you. When you engraft a branch to a trunk, to a tree trunk, when you engraft that, the sap, the life that's in the trunk will begin to flow into the branch. So whenever you were put in Christ, you were actually engrafted into him, so that now everything that is in him and flowing in him and who he is and what his very essence is now in you. That's why we say you're a new creation. Why are you a new creation? Because now your identity has been completely changed. You used to be just you. You used to be just you. It was just little old me. It was just little old you. You were alone. You were in darkness. But now, it's not just you. He has engrafted you into him and placed all that's in him in you. His essence, his life, his spirit lives in you. Right now. Right now. And so you became a brand new creation that never before existed at that point. In that moment, all the old junk passed away. We had a service a few days ago where we did the baptisms in here. That's nothing more than a funeral service of the old man passing away. That's all it is. It's a funeral service. The old man's gone. It's passed away. That thing is over. Who I used to be is gone. And we're going to have a service and a celebration to show y'all what Jesus did in me. He took care of all the old and made me a brand new creation. Watch me going, watch and look what he did. Watch. He made me brand new. Y'all with me? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now what? Now I could talk to y'all about what we want to talk about this morning. I had to kind of lay that foundation a little bit. Now what are all things? All things are what? Of God. All things. All things. Every portion of your life. Your Cheerios that you ate this morning, you did it of God. When you brushed your teeth this morning, you did it of God. When you go to work tomorrow, you do it of God. All of a sudden, everything that you do has now become of God. From the moment you get up to the moment you go lay back down, and even doing your dreaming, you are of God. You. If you've accepted him, you are of God. Don't attempt to attain something that's already been given to you. Don't try to get something that he's already placed in your heart. Is that making sense? Y'all with me? I don't want to lose nobody. We got somewhere to go. I'm getting real hot though. I'm finna strip down. Yeah, I do. I got a lot of layers on. I thought it was going to be cold today. It sure ain't. It sure ain't. But it does look good with my shoes, you know. Yeah. I'm hot. So, now what? All things are of God, who has done what? What has he done? He has reconciled us to himself. Just a minute.
You.
From what? From, I got an undershirt. Yeah. Whew. One more. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Has reconciled. Has reconciled. Has reconciled. Has. Anybody ever go to ELA or what we used to call it, language class? Language arts, that's what it was. I didn't pay attention. But there was one thing that I did take note of. There were tenses in words. Some of them meant in the future. Some of them meant now, and some of them meant in the past. The word has, do y'all know where it puts everything that where has operates? Has operates from the present to the past. It steps over into both. Has. I has just took my shirt off. Has. Right? Well, I mean, y'all know what I mean. I mean, I told you I didn't pay much good attention, but. So are you following me here? What does has mean? It puts it in what tense? The future tense? No. Where does it put it? In the past. That means it's already done. That means that it's finished. That's why he said it's finished on the cross. Because it has been done. So he has reconciled you to himself. You, right now, today, I don't care what you did 5 seconds ago. I don't care if you stripped down in front of some people in the middle of church. Yeah. Has is where you live whenever it comes to this. He has already reconciled you to himself. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have been made new every moment of your day. Has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Ain't got nothing to do with you. You didn't do it. You couldn't do it. And you can't if you're still trying. Quit trying. Receive what he's done. Amen. And has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And what? There it is. Y'all remember what has mean? Past. Has given to us. Everybody say, that's me. That's me. What a ministry. You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a whole bunch of people in full-time ministry right now. Y'all are all in full-time ministry. If you signed up, guess what? You in the ministry now. I'm in. Whatever. I don't know that song either. He has given to who? You, a ministry, and it's called reconciliation. Next slide. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. Let's go to Matthew 28, please. Is that making sense, y'all? So I'm looking at a room full of full-time ministers. Welcome to the club. So many people, you hear people all the time, well, I just feel like I'm supposed to be ministering. And yeah, you're right. You are. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the equipping for the ministers to go minister. That's what this does. This office equips so that the ministers can go minister. Y'all following me here? All right, laying a little foundation. This is after Jesus rose from the grave, and Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, which means the short people, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Go back to the beginning of it, Charles. After Jesus came, he said, all authority, which means jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. All jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength was given to Jesus. And what did he say right behind it? Given to me, no, not has, in heaven and earth. Next scripture. What's the first verse, first word? Go. There's another language arts thing that I'm going to bring up that I kind of remember a little bit. There, sometimes in a sentence, you will find an understood subject. Yeah. You know what an understood subject is? That means that there's a subject that you understand to be there that may not actually be written there. Okay? So let's back up one, Charles. We're having a little language arts this morning. Let's back up one, Charles. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Next one. Go, therefore. Who or what is the understood subject that's supposed to go? You. Go. I have all the authority, which gives us jurisdiction, it gives us liberty, it gives us power, it gives us right, and it gives us the strength. We have all of that because, what did I say earlier? Everything that's flowing in Him is in you. Y'all remember that part? New creation, old things have passed away, been given to ministry. Here it is, right here. Check Him out. He's trying to tell you all that I got. The right, the strength, the jurisdiction, the liberty, all this stuff, the authority that I have, all that's in you. Now, you do what? Go. Go where, Greg? Go what? Go. Wherever He tells you to go. I said last week that the word missionary, you cannot find it in the Bible. You do not find the word missionary, and this is Missions Month, correct? I am getting that right. The word missionary you will not find in your Bible if you have like a, you know, I mean, if you got like one of those versions that's like just letters like N-I something and N-L something and A-M something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All those different versions. You'll find it in there because it's more modern. It's part of our modern vernacular. But if you go back to the Bible, whenever it was translated over into the King James and some of the versions thereafter, you will not find the word missionary. You won't find it in there. Why not? Because it's expected that you are one. You are one. Where do I go? Go to work. Go, therefore. Go to Walmart. Go to Africa. Go to Botswana. Go to England. Go to France. We have some friends that live in France right now. Yeah, they're in France. Yeah. Go to Sweden. Go to Germany. Go to Arby's. Go to the Love Truck Stop. Go to Brookshire's. Go to Kashada, God's country. Are y'all getting me? Go to New Orleans. Go to New York City. Go to Alaska. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. That's what you do when you walk out of this place. You are now in the process of going somewhere. I used to say it all the time. You could get from anywhere in the world from right here. You walk out that door. You step out that door, you could get anywhere in the world from right there. He has authorized you. He has called you. He has given you a ministry of reconciliation and given unto you everything that He has so that you can hit that door and go to anywhere in the world. And do what? What are you going to keep going? Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. All right, let's go to Matthew 16. Charles, Matthew 16. Jesus talking again. What'd He say? What? What'd He say? Right there. Step out that door. Go anywhere in the world. Guess who's going with you when you go? All power. All authority, all jurisdiction, every right to be there. Go. Is this clicking? Missionaries. Got a ministry. Go into where? All the world. All the world, which does include Africa, China, Romania, Russia, Ukraine, the Gaza Strip, all of that, plus Arby's, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, school, work, home, mama's house, cousin's house, friend's house, all them places is the world. Amen? And do what when you get there? Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And what happens? all of what these signs will follow those who believe in my name. What are they going to do? They'll cast out demons in my name. They'll speak with new. And they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will what? In my name, lay hands on the sick, and what will happen? They'll recover. Ministry of reconciliation. If you remember, you were grafted into Christ, and everything that was flowing in him flows into you. That's the reason why he said, the works that you see me do, you will do also. Why? Because of this. You've been reconciled. You've been given a ministry. Go somewhere and do something. Ain't this fun? Are y'all having a good time? Missions month. And everybody thought we was going to take up offerings the whole month, didn't y'all? Been like, missions month, I ain't even going to go. All they going to do is take up money. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord had spoken this to them, he was received up to heaven and set down at the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere. Guess what? The disciples, when they heard him say this, you know what they did? They did it. They just went out and preached everywhere. I don't have record of it, but I'm sure that whenever Mark left out of there, he went home and preached to somebody. And you know, preaching is not doing this. I got to clear that up real quick. Preaching is not doing this. This is equipping. I am equipping you. That's what I'm doing. Now, I'm using a gift of preaching that God has given me to get that done, and I hope it's okay. If not, y'all won't come back next week, but it's fine. We'll be all right. We'll keep going. But this is an equipping that's taking place. The best way to preach that I have found in my few years of following the Lord, which I've been, I got saved back in 1987, didn't do right for a little bit, so like about 1998 is when it kind of got good again, you know? You got to kind of get it good again. You know what I'm talking about? Like it ain't no good, and you get it good again. That's when I got it good again. And so from 1998 till now, the best way to preach that I have found is this. Everybody watch. Everybody watch. Y'all ready? See, and I got everybody smiling at me. Almost everybody. Ava's smiling. Logan. He's not going to smile. I'm going to tickle you. There he is. You see that right there, that interaction? That's preaching. That's preaching. The word charismatic actually is the root of it is charis or cherish. Charis, which actually means love. You know how you preach? You know how to preach to people? Just love on them. Be nice. Just be nice. It don't take much. And folks like it when you're nice. And they'll be nice back most of the time. Some of them won't. They ignorant. Whatever. Let them be ignorant. Just be nice. I go to Walmart a lot. You can ask Angel because I like kind of be like by myself sometimes. I just don't. Which I know you're like, wait a minute, Greg. Why do you want to go to Walmart? You're not really by yourself. I'm like, yeah, but I'm just kind of like just with me, you know. And, like, I'll go to Walmart, I just walk around and wave at people. Hey, how y'all? You know, I ain't got nothing, you know. And you'd be amazed at the number of times that people will want to have a conversation. And then it will further amaze you that if you engage in that conversation with people, the things that they begin to say and the Holy Spirit starts telling you, you need to pray for them about you need to. There's a lot of you need to's happening in there. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. Y'all remember that? Engrafted in Christ, everything that's in him is in you. And now you've got this ministry of reconciliation. Go ye therefore into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Y'all remember that? And these signs will follow them that believe. You don't have to stand up in front of thousands and thousands of people. You can if you're called to it. That's what Paul does. He's called to that. That's what he's doing. He's doing what God's telling him to do. But it don't take, you don't necessarily have to do all that. You could just give into that thing and then go to Walmart and smile at the lady that's been behind that register all day long whose feet are hurting. Her feet hurt. She's been standing there for hours on end. Have any of you ever stood in one spot hours on end just standing there? If you have, you know the suffering that is taking place. Day in, day out. That's the reason why the lady seems to be a little cranky. It ain't got nothing to do with you. She don't know you. She don't know you. When people are, you know, people, they hurting, you know? And we got the answer flowing all up in us, and we gonna sit there and get offended because somebody at Walmart gonna treat us bad that we don't even know. Oh, y'all got quiet on that one, didn't you? Wow. Sorry. I apologize. But it's true. We'll get offended at people we don't even know. Get all mad, bent out of shape, come home and throw something. All right, missions month, amen. Let's move on. I think I wore y'all out enough on that. Where are we going to go, Jesus? Where are we going? We're going to go to Acts chapter 9 is where we're going to go at. What time I got? Ooh, y'all might get out of here early this morning. Maybe. We'll see. It'd be good. Beat all the Methodists to the chicken place. You know what I'm talking about? Get up in that Popeye's line real early. Ain't nobody there. Ooh, ain't nobody there. I mean, I get excited about it. Y'all don't get excited when you pull up to a drive-thru and ain't nobody there? I get excited about, whoa, yeah. I ain't got to pull out my phone and you don't even get to check your Facebook. I mean, this is like, boom, get your food, roll, man. I like it. All right, this is a story on this side of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, we were just showing that, and that was Jesus talking directly to the apostles, to the 12 disciples. And a lot of folks say, well, it's just them, and then and it all fell apart, and it fell away. Whenever the last apostle died, that was it. It was all over. No, it doesn't work that way. And this is the proof of it that we'll look at here. So this is after all of that. This is a small snippet of a story in Acts about a man, a disciple. Where's he from? Damascus. And what's his name? Ananias. It's a small little snippet of a story that has profound impact on us today. This man that we're about to read about has impacted you today with what has been chronicled of what he's about to do. Are y'all following me here? Watch this. Watch. There was a certain disciple. That's a learner. That's somebody that's a follower. That's somebody that says, yes, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I'm gonna read my Bible. I'm gonna start learning about Jesus. I'm gonna start, you know, I'm gonna pray, you know, that kind of thing. And starts doing the deal. Y'all with me? Disciple at Damascus named who? Ananias. And to him, to Ananias, the Lord said in a vision. All right, this dude chilling, doing his disciple thing, just kind of learning about Jesus, going to church, helping out in kids' church, changing diapers, you know, going to the Walmart, smiling, ministry of reconciliation, y'all need to love Jesus because it's really cool like me. You know, I mean, this is what Ananias does every day in Damascus. Are y'all with me? You following me? And the Lord said to him in a vision. This dude just chilling. All of a sudden, Jesus just pop up in the room. In a vision, says, Ananias. And what'd he say? Here I am, Lord. It's kind of like what we ought to do every morning when we get up. Here I am, Lord. Because I believe in my heart, every morning when I wake up, he goes, hey, Greg. And I go, yeah, what up? Which is the same thing of here I am, Lord. That's just the modern Greg Lee version of here I am, Lord. It's just I do him like that, like I talk to everybody. I don't get all hocus pocus with God. I don't do that. I'm like, yeah, Lord, what's up? What you got? That's what Ananias and I, he said, here I am, Lord. What you got? Verse 11. So the Lord said to him, what? Arise. And go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. This is nothing more than the move of the Spirit happening where he is getting a word of knowledge. God showed up. Jesus showed up in his room. Hey, boy. Yes, sir. I want you to do something. Yes, sir. What's that? See, your answer should always be yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Oh, that was weak. Y'all are tired? Yeah. I'll be done in a few minutes. We'll go get something to eat at the Popeyes. I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes,
that's the way it ought to do, man. He talking at you. Shoot. I bet all of y'all, my money is on this. At least 99.9% of y'all, Jesus was to show up in your room, you'd be like, be all just like, you know, fear not. You know, it'd be one of those, just stop. Quit it. I only got a second or two. Pay attention. Arise and go to the street called Straight. And he did all of this because he received a word of knowledge from Jesus. Jesus told him where to go exactly to the house. I want you to go to 777 Burnswood Trail in Minden, Louisiana. Go right down there. When you get there, that's Greg's house. Ask to see if Chris Lewis is up in there, because I got, you need, because Chris Lewis is up in Greg Lee's house praying. That's what's happening here. All right? Next verse. And in a vision, he's still talking about Paul, and in a vision, he, talking about Paul, has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Next one. Then Ananias said and answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. So, backstory. Y'all ready? We're going to pause. We're going to do a little backstory. Paul of Tarsus killed Christians for a living. He fed them to lions, okay? Just took them, put them in a cage for a few days, got a lion real hungry, and cut that lion loose on them. That's what he did for a living every day of his life. He thought he was doing God a service. But then, if you remember, Paul was on the road to Damascus, which is where Ananias lives. He was going to the place where Ananias, and what happened? Jesus showed up. He went blind. Y'all remember all this? Went blind, couldn't see. So he starts praying. Paul starts praying because he can't see. You know, I mean, if all of a sudden you saw Jesus and he said, look, you need to stop doing what you're doing, and you couldn't see, I promise you'd be praying for the next 3 or 4 days. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. No, I mean, that's what's happening here. Okay? And so he's praying, and in his prayer, God showed him a vision of a man by the name of Ananias coming to his house. Lord tells Ananias, go down there and do something about it. And Ananias said, I don't want to be fed in no lion. That's dangerous. I don't want to go to the Gaza Strip. That's dangerous. I don't want to go to Walmart. It's dangerous. I don't want to talk to them because they mean to me. I don't want to talk to them because I heard that she said she didn't like my shoes. Are y'all with me? That's what's happening here. Next verse. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. Verse 15. But the Lord said to him, what? It don't matter. Whatever your excuse is, whatever the thing is that you're holding on, whatever it is that you got in your brain that keeps you from going to Walmart and smiling, don't matter. What's the answer still? The answer still what? Go. Go. Go, for he is chosen. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name to all the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Next verse. For I will show him how many things he must suffer in my name's sake. Next verse. And Ananias, what'd he do? He went his way and entered into the house, laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Whammo, immediately. There fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And from that point, Saul of Tarsus became Paul. He became the Apostle Paul. He wrote three-fourths of the New Testament that you read today. He founded more churches in that area than people ever said. We still are reading about what he had to say and what he did for the Lord. All because one guy who was just a regular, plain old church-going dude decided to go and do what God told him to do. Your Bible reads the way it reads because this one man decided to get up and go. You are a missionary. You do have a mission. You have been called, appointed, and given a ministry, and that ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. Go. Make it happen. The next person you touch could write a book that just blows everybody. The next person you touch could be the next Billy Graham. The next person that you talk to or smile at Walmart could be Joel Osteen. There's no telling what God could do if we will only just go. It's time. Missions month. Missionaries. Ministers. With a choice. You gonna do what he says or not? It's up to you. Let's all stand. We're going home. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We will do our absolute best to walk in it. Do it. Because we know that if we're just hearers, we're kind of deceiving ourselves into thinking we done heard something, we doing something. No, sir. We are going to be doers. And in that doing, we will be blessed. We thank you, Lord, that every place our feet touches, you touch. Every person we see, you see. Every hand we lay, you lay. And every word we speak is your word speaking, Father. We thank you for this awesome opportunity. We will not take it lightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody have a good day. Got you.